Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God, everybody. This is Macedonia Call Around the Globe, coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. I am Sister Joanna Green, my husband, Evangelist Clint Green. We are coming to you. Our subject tonight is Get Your House in Order. So if you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Maybe you have a testimony, or maybe you have a prayer request you want to share. Maybe you're a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you want to join us. Praise God. We only use the King James Bible, and to us, that's the only Bible that there is. Praise the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise God. Or I might have said it backwards there, but, you know, we just love the Lord. Praise God. And we thank God for callers calling in already. And we've always enjoy to see numbers pop up on our screen here. We've got lots of prayer requests coming in. What I do is on Facebook, I will put on probably around 8 p.m. every Friday night. I try to, sometimes I'm late about doing it, but we always get a lot of prayer requests, and I thank God for people that have confidence in us, that we pray to God, and we pray to Jesus, that He's our mediator, that He will answer our prayers, and lots of urgent prayer requests. Brother Tim Hall says, continue to pray for us. We need a physical and financial miracle. Thank you all for caring and being compassionate. And you and Brother Clint and Rachel are doing great, he says. Thank you, Brother Tim Hall, for that encouragement, those great words. We really have a lot of confidence in Brother Tim, and we need you all to help us pray for him. And Sister Frida, she also turned in a prayer request. Remember Logan and Jackson, he has the flu. He's about a year old. And little Logan is the one that we've been turning in prayer requests about. They had found something suspicious on his brain. And the testimony to God be all the glory. Thank you all for praying that whatever this is that he has, the doctors say he will grow out of it. So we thank the Lord for that. Becky Fritz, she says, please remember her friend Kim. Now, this is another urgent prayer request, folks. She has only 50-50 chance of pulling through this pneumonia. She's not doing well at all, but we have a mighty God above that can heal her. From what I understand, that the doctors said they can't do no more. She's on a ventilator, so please keep her in prayer. We've heard so much pneumonia here lately. Something's going on. The devil's mad. He knows he has a short time. But praise God, we are on the winning side. If you're on the Lord's side, if you're on Jesus' side, you're on the winning side. Heather DeLon, she says, please pray for her for a healing. She's has in a lot of pain. She's been diagnosed in 2006 with MS. There's a relapse going on right now. She can hardly walk. Takes everything in her to move and walk. And also pray for her kids, I believe she's saying. Also, Sarah Littrell says, Sister Sarah says, a special prayer request, sis. She said, I appreciate you all. God bless. And again, Heather DeLon says, pray for her for a safe trip back to Mississippi. Sam Moyer says, please pray. God move on a job situation for her. He knows all about it. She says, love you. Thank you, Sister Moyer. Praise God. And Sister Donna Million, she says, please pray for her daughter, grandson, and herself. We're all sick with the flu and need a touch from God. Donna Trusty says, I really do need prayer for my son and his family and my daughter's sick grandson. Has ear infection, and my 90-year-old mom needs prayer, and her legs hurt. Just pray for her family. God knows. Praise God. Bonnie Burke, Sister Bonnie says, it's me again, Lord. You know that song, Sister Joanna, she says, well, it's me again, standing in the need of prayer. For granddaughter, had the flu, and her baby that's 4 months old has it, but hopefully they got it all in time with Tamiflu. Lots going on, need prayer, but God is a big God. Thank you and God bless. Sister Gladys Dittmer says, pray for steady work for Bobby. Complete healing in Gary, John, Edith, and Trish. And she also has an unspoken prayer request. We thank you all for turning those in, and we thank the Lord for everything that he's doing. And praise God, as the prayer requests continue to come in, we'll give those out. At this time, we want Rachel to come in, obey God, and she's going to read her scriptures. Praise the Lord.
Hebrews 3, chapter 4 through 5.
Verses
4 through 5. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after.
Praise God. So if you want to call in tonight and be part of the broadcast, again, it's 347-989-8862. And we are going to have the 770 come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John Sample from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God. Glad to have you, Brother Samples. Thank God you called in here tonight, and we'll get you in here in just a moment. We've got a couple more callers that I want to acknowledge. Let's see, 661, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hi, Sister Joanna. This is Sister Gladys in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord. Good to have you, Sister Gladys, and I appreciate you all for calling in and being part of this and trying to open up the mic for 423. It looks like it's Brother Yearwood, and my computer did this last week. It won't let me turn on the mic for some reason. Brother John, while I'm working on this, Brother, you care to go ahead and just obey the Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are talking about amen, the house and seeing the house in order. Spirit of the Lord begin to deal with me, amen, out of the prophet Isaiah, also in Chronicles, but in Isaiah chapter 38. This was a time, amen, that Israel had been shut up by the Assyrian army. Sennacherib, the king, amen, had surrounded, had came, amen. And there are those of you who need to sound my voice that the enemy has surrounded your life, has surrounded, amen, and just taken you, and amen, and seeming like there's no place to go. And we serve a God tonight, and here the King Hezekiah, who was the king at that time, amen, the scriptures teach us and that he was sick unto death, amen, hallelujah, in those days in Isaiah 38. But even before that, I want to let you know that by the prophet Isaiah, he began to speak, amen, that as the enemy was surrounding his house, surrounding the life, surrounding Israel at that time, that he declared, amen, that as he was surrounded, that there would be a remnant there in chapter 37 and verse 31 that would, the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. So what they're saying, that there's a remnant. Tonight there's a remnant that is coming, amen, and going to escape. You know, the Bible says that, amen, that he will with the temptation, with the trial that you're going through tonight. I'm speaking to many prophetically tonight, that he will make a way of escape. Hallelujah. But we find, amen, that he said, he told, amen, that the king of Syria, that he shall not come to this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. You need to know tonight that as the enemy has come against you, he's going to leave just like he came. Hallelujah. There's not going to be a change. He will not come nigh into your house. He will not come nigh into your dwelling. The Bible speaks that we need not to fear by the arrow by day or the terror by night. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, because the Lord is in the house. That's the reason why we need to set up the house. Amen. Amen. That the Lord can abide there. Amen. And the Bible says, amen. It said, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You need to know tonight that those of you that have been persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to save you for my name's sake. Hallelujah. Tonight, when the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is abide in the house, and as Sister Rachel, amen, read that scripture, it was talking about the builder of the house. And you need to know tonight, who's the builder of your house? Amen. And I'm not talking about the house that you live in. I'm talking about the Lord who lives in you and lives in your house. And the Bible says that it talked about that the angel of the Lord there in verse 36 came forth and smote the camp of Assyrians, 185,000. In other words, 185,000, amen, of the enemy, amen, in the morning beheld their corpses because the angel of the Lord. We need to know today that the psalm says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear and love him. The angel of his presence, amen. And I ask you tonight, do you have the Lord in the house tonight? Is the healer in the house? And the Bible says, chapter 38, verse 1, that in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet came unto him, and he said, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. We need to know tonight that the scriptures teach us it wasn't so much, amen, that he told him, amen, he knew he was sick unto death. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, or 2 Kings, excuse me, chapter 20, that, amen, that he had a boil, amen. No doubt there was an infection, amen, within his body, amen. And tonight, amen, it's these prayer requests, amen, that maybe there's an infection, maybe there's an affliction, maybe there's something that seemingly can't be healed. And that day, the Bible said that they put a lump, amen, a plaster in the book of Kings in chapter 20, tells you about, amen, that as he had, amen, they put it upon the boil, amen, much maybe like a modern-day infection or maybe even a modern-day staph infection, that death was coming. He was sick unto death. That's what the scripture said. And the prophet came unto him and said, set thy house in order. In other words, you are to leave instructions, because it wasn't going to set he wasn't told to set his life in order. He was told to set his house in order, that he was getting ready to die and not live, that he would no longer be there. Here he was as a king. Here would there be an influence. And he would leave his house. Amen. And if he left his house at that time, it would be out of order. And tonight, church, amen, we need to prepare, amen, Lord, not only that, but to set our house in order. In other words, we need to leave the instructions. We need to set it up. Amen. And the Bible says, amen, hallelujah. He said that is in Hebrews, amen, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, hallelujah, says this, amen, for then must we often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You have to understand that Hezekiah had an appointment with death, but the prophet come and he said, thou shalt die and not live. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and then to him that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, church, he's coming again to set your house in order. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And let me prophesy to each and every one of you. All of you shall die and not live. And so it's time, amen, to set your house in order. Amen, because after you die, there's the judgment. It's time for you to set that which is in your life in order. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, hallelujah. The scriptures teach us. Amen. It says in verse 2, it said, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. This was the first step, amen, in setting his house in order. The Bible says, I believe it's in James chapter 5, starting verse 13, the first thing that Hezekiah did to set his house in order, he began to pray. Tonight, church, if you want to set your house in order, if you want to set the things in your life in order, the first thing we need to do, the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You know, as Sister Joanne and Brother Clint received a prayer request. Amen. Hallelujah. But the first step to set your own house in order is for you to pray. If you're afflicted today, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray, that's the first step to set your house in order, to call on the living God. And if you're afflicted to pray, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing the melodies of the word of God. And the Bible says, is any sick among you? That's what it said. He said that this sickness wasn't the death. Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let him call upon the presbyters of the church. Let him call upon the elders, amen, that have walked, amen, and just as these people, amen, have called in, and let us pray together. You know, the Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 18, amen, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Excuse me. You have to understand tonight that David had in his heart to build the house of the Lord. But, amen, he said, the heaven and heavens could not contain me. What was in that house? Oh, tonight, you want to set your house in order? Have his name there. Amen. Have his name where he is named. The Bible says, where those of you that have named his name, depart from iniquity. Depart from your guilt. Leave your guilt. Amen. Because in the blood of Christ, amen, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the Bible says, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. There needs to be a prayer in the name of the Lord. The Bible says, I didn't finish it there in Matthew, but it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. We have a promise tonight that the Lord is in the house. The Lord is in it because tonight on this broadcast we are gathering together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there where you're at, you might be, amen, amen, and that's listening all by yourself. But you need to know tonight there's no such thing as you being lonely because you're not alone. He said, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The scriptures teach us this too, touching one thing on earth. Amen, amen, and agreeing it shall be done. You might be in your house, you might be in a room by yourself tonight, but you're never alone. That's a life in the pits of hell. You are, the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He'll not leave you. And as you agree, and maybe you have a place in your body, you need to lay hands on yourself. The Bible says that these signs and wonders shall follow those that believe, that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Even if you're alone tonight, the Lord is in your midst. And as the Lord touches you, he said, whatsoever you find your hand to do, do it with all thy might. In other words, your hand will be the hand of the Lord. When we pray tonight, as you put your hand on wherever your sickness and affliction is, it's not only you touching, but it is agreeing and only us touching, amen, because you're calling upon the elders. You've already done that according to your prayer request, and the elders are going to pray, amen, pray over you, and we're going to anoint you with oil, amen, because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke, amen. It's not a physical oil, amen, but it's the oil of anointing that abides within us because Christ is the anointed one. When we pray in his name, it's the anointing oil that ran down upon Aaron's beard and skirt. And tonight, the cup is going to run over. All of you that are listening tonight, lift up your cup. David said, my cup runneth over. If you need an overflow of anointing tonight in your house, it's time to set your house in order. And prayer will release that anointing. And the Bible says, and the prayer of faith, verse 15 of James chapter 5, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, there's salvation available for you today. There's salvation available for you, not only to save you from your sin sickness, but to save you from your healing and the disease of your body. And the Bible says, and the Lord shall raise him up. Oh, there's resurrecting power. You know, that's what it talks about in the book of Kings. Bible says that at the end of 3 days, that he would raise up Hezekiah. Amen. You know why? It was 3 days. Amen. Because he, as the Lord, was in the earth for 3 days. Oh, on that third day, there's resurrecting power. Some of you, amen, you have to understand something. We can't receive a resurrection until we're dead and buried. Amen. And you know what? Tonight, church, it's time to bury every sickness, every disease, every affliction, everything that's in your house that is dead, you need to bury it under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to bury it in the earth. Amen. You need to bury it just like the prophet buried the girdle that was good for nothing. You need to bury everything that's not good in your house. You need to bury it underneath the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Because in that third day, hallelujah, you're going to be resurrected. Amen. You have to understand there has to be a death, there has to be a burial, and there has to be a resurrection. We can't just go to the resurrection without the death and burial first. We must go through the death and burial. Amen. That is the steps. That is the way that we receive the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus couldn't come forth out of the grave until he was put in the grave. Church tonight, amen. There are all many of you underneath the sound of my voice. You're in affliction. You're in places of death. But God's calling, he said, I am the resurrection, and he's calling his church forth. He's calling believers forth. Remove the stone, whatever's hindering you, whether it be a mountain, whether it be a stone, whether it be the seal of man. Tonight, Jesus Christ is calling his church to come forth. He's calling it, even though you've been surrounded by the enemy. One shall send 1,000, two shall send 10,000 to flight. Whatever your afflictions are as believers, as you agree with the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with these ministers, amen, that are getting ready to speak into your life, it's time to set your house in order, because you shall die and not live. But amen, as you set your house in order, you're going to live and not die. And the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's what we're doing tonight. You know, the important thing tonight is in James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 22, it says, not only to be a hearer of the word. See, tonight is not the most important thing for you to hear. It is to hear the word, because he sent his word to hear. But the more important thing is to do one step after that, is to do the word tonight. Oh, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. He said that that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Amen. And Hezekiah turned and began to pray. That was the first step. And that effectual fervent prayer, amen, of the righteous man availeth much. And he said in verse 3 of Isaiah 38, he said, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, how I walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3 and 3, can two walk together except to be agreed. But Hezekiah remembered that he was reminding God, hallelujah, when they walk together. Amen. And tonight, there are many underneath the sound of my voice. Amen. But you've walked away from God. God never walked away from you. Amen. And your house begin to become in decay. Your house begin to become in disarray. Why? Because you left the house. You left, amen. And as you walked away from the name that's to be in your name, amen, amen, there was desolation. And you walked away from God, and you're no longer walking in agreement. But church, tonight, it's time, amen, to let the Lord of your house. It's time to let the Lord back into your house. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In Revelation chapter 3, if any man will open, amen. God is not easy. God, he did this thing decently in order. God will never come into your life without knocking on your heart's door. God will never come into your life without calling upon you first. God will never, amen, come in and just barge in on your life. He's a loving Savior tonight. But tonight, if you'll hear his voice and open up, he will come in and sup with you. He has a desire, amen, to have communion with you. He has a desire for you to drink his blood and eat his flesh. Amen. He has a desire, amen, for all the rest of your days to sit down and sup with you. But not only does he have it, he has a desire to come in and live with you. Amen. He's not just a one-time guest. He's a lifetime resident. You need to know today, the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, hallelujah, and verse 13, he says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican knew. Here was the publican. Here was a sinner. Here was the one who thought he was something. Tonight, if you think you're something, you're nothing. Amen. But as you humble yourself tonight, the Bible says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Hallelujah. Rather than other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. You want to know something tonight? You want God to come into your life? Humble yourself. Let him be the God. You're not the God of your own life. You're not the Lord of your own life. Some of you try to go your own way. They used to have a commercial in one of the hamburger places in the fast food. So you can have it your way. And some of you tried to have it your way. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, that he's the way tonight, church. And the Bible says, amen, in Isaiah 38, that the word of the Lord came into Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of the David, of the Father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. Oh, tonight, God wants to add to your life. He said in John chapter 10, I've come that you might have life and that more abundance. He wants to add to your life. The Bible says, amen, that wisdom will add to you. It will lengthen your days. Amen. And you need to know tonight, the Bible says, hallelujah, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It speaks of this. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this, starting with verse 12. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer. He told Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer. Tonight, church, is the most important thing. Amen. But his ear's not slack. Amen. And his hearing's not short. In other words, his hand's not short tonight. He hears your prayer. Amen. He said, I've heard thy prayer. Amen. And I've chosen this place for myself, for a house of sacrifice. Tonight, if you've been praying in the house, as the first step is praying, seeking the face of God tonight, church. Amen. You want to set your house in order because your house doesn't need to be your house. It needs to be a house of the Lord. David said, I was glad unto me when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, tonight you can abide in the house of the Lord. It's not something that you have to wait to abide in. Amen. I abide in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for me. I know he's preparing a mansion for me. I know he's preparing a room for me in the Father's house. Amen. And by death, I will go to that room. I'll check out and check in to be absent from the body, to be present for the Lord. I will go from this house, this natural house, amen, this temporary, this first tabernacle into an everlasting tabernacle. One day I'm checking out, but at the moment I check in, I'm checking into a better place. Amen. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for, amen, that something that God has made. He's already made this old tabernacle, but this tabernacle is going to lie down. I already have that prophecy. I'm going to die and not live. I received the same prophecy. Every one of you in these sound of my voice have received the same prophecy, but I'm going to receive that prophet's reward, because you know what? As I pray, amen, I'm going to live and not die. And the Bible says, amen, because he has chosen this house as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, verse 13, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend into the prayer that is made in this place. Church, if you do this, it is as it is written, no longer. Some of you, amen, have turned the house of the Lord into money changers. Some of you went and tried to sell doves. You tried to sell the representation of the Spirit to make money. You tried to serve another master. No man can serve two masters, for he'll love the one and hate the other. He said, for now I've chosen and sanctified this house, that my name shall be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. In other words, continually. The house of the Lord. The Bible says when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming into the city, amen, and he came in and began to cleanse the temple. The Bible says in John chapter 15, you are clean by the words I've spoken to you. Will you hear the word of the Lord? And, amen. He set his house in order. What did he do? He didn't go get the broom. He didn't go get the mop. He didn't go get the cleansing there. How he cleansed the house was he turned to the face of the Lord, and he began to pray, and he began to seek the face of God. And the Bible says, hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 6 of Isaiah 38, he said, I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Church, tonight, he's your defender, and he will deliver you from the kings that have come against you. He will deliver you of the king of confusion. He will deliver you from Satan, from Lucifer, from the dragon, from the serpent, from your afflictions, from your sickness, from your disease, from your pneumonia, from your MS, from your muscular dystrophy, from everything that's within you. He will deliver you and defend you, because he is your defender, because the battle is not yours, church. It's the Lord's. And this shall be the sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which the degrees had gone down. There in the desert was the sundial of Ahaz. It was actually a stairways. Amen. And the sun, the shadow had come, and they measured the degrees of the sun and the time of the sun, amen, by the shadow on the stairway of Ahaz, who was a king. Hallelujah, in the midst of there. And let me tell you something. The sun was coming up, but on this day and on this time of prayer, I'm talking about a prayer, we serve a God tonight that will turn back the hands of time for you tonight and restore unto you. Because he said by the prophet Joel, I will restore unto you the years. I'm speaking prophetically to you right now, all across America and all across the world. I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locust, the four things, the great army of the Lord, your life. When some of you, I need some of my voice, your life was green. You had much life, but all of a sudden sickness came. A sickness, the palmer worm came, the cankerworm came, the locust, the caterpillar, they came, and they begin to destroy. But there's a prophecy tonight that you shall live and not die. Set your house in order. Amen. And he will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, amen, have destroyed. And another thing, real quick, and then I'll give it back to Brother and Sister Green. David was in Ziklag. He was come and fighting the Philistines. The Amalekites come, took his wives and those that were in the camp. There are some of you are bitter tonight because while you were fighting for the Lord or seemingly fighting for the Lord, the enemy come and stole your wife, stole your family, stole your faith. I'm telling you tonight, I'm speaking to you prophetically, God's going to get him ready to restore your family, your relationship. Those of you who have been separated, God's going to bring this family together, and he's going to set the house in order, and it's going to be the house that was divided. No house divided cannot stand, but God's getting ready to restore your house and make your house one again. Where there was love that was lost, the Lord shall be the house, and he's restoring families. He's restoring churches. He's restoring, amen, relationships right now, even as I speak, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And right now, amen, because you know what? He's turning back the hands of time. The sun has went back. The natural realm of the thing is the earth revolves in the sun and the moon, and it goes forward. But I'm telling you right now, even as I speak, he's turning back the hands of time. He's turning back the degrees. Amen. And in 3 days, you're going to rise up and go to the house of the Lord, and it's going to be resurrecting power, and you're going to rejoice. Amen. And again, because why? Because you're going to die. Amen. But set your house in order, because you're going to live and not die, saith the Lord. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God, and enjoyed that word, Brother John. And if you're a caller here tonight, there's a few callers that called in and they've not pressed option one. If you want to say anything, we encourage you just select number one on your telephone, and that lets us know that you want to say something. If you have a testimony, maybe you have a prayer request, or maybe you're a preacher and maybe you'd like to share the gospel with the world. Praise God. If you want to call in tonight, if you're listening by internet, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. And Brother Yearwood, you want to just come in and tell us where you're located? I did get your mic turned on.
Okay. We're located down here in Madisonville, Tennessee, me and Betty. And we've got some prayer requests there, Sister Green.
Okay, go right ahead.
Remember the Beecher Bowers family that buried his wife today? And remember Edith Hampton, Fred Brannon, and Keith Green. They all have cancer and need a miracle. Norman Watson has a tumor on his neck. They done a biopsy this week. The tests haven't come back yet, but we're believing God for a miracle for that. Pray for my hip where I fell. I've been having terrible pain in it, so remember that. And a lady that we know by the name of Pamela said tonight that she felt like throwing in the towel and giving up, and I told her there wasn't no time to quit, that she needed to turn it all over to God. So just pray for her tonight. And remember the people in Charleston, West Virginia, where there was a chemical spill here a few weeks back. Brother Inklinrock lives in that town, and he said that it's really bad and they need a miracle on their water. And remember Eddie Bolton tonight. And Brother John, how's Sister Debbie doing?
She's doing pretty good, Sister Betty. I appreciate that.
Praise
the Lord. She's doing good.
Tim's been having some health problems, so remember him tonight.
Praise God. Amen. We'll sure remember all those. And also remember Sister Rose Kinzer. She put it on Facebook here to us. Says, pray for her son. Only God can heal. Doctor said that they can't do nothing for him. He's saved. Praise God. He's saved. And he's also assistant pastor. So pray for him, for his healing, for a miracle for him as well. So we want to take all these prayer requests to the Lord in sincerity. And we do this through the week as well. First of all, we're going to get this song going. And we pray over the prayer requests at the end of the broadcast. That way, as they come in, we'll continue to announce those, and then we want to cover them all, praise God. So we hope you enjoy this song, and then we'll get Sister Gladys to come in and obey God. Hallelujah.
church I see that old lightning flashing, and I've heard that old thunder, heard it roll. You see, I felt those sins breakers dashing. They were trying to conquer my soul. But then I heard the voice of my Savior. Because my Lord
God. And just as Pastor John told you, that if you've given your heart to God, he promised he will never leave you alone. Praise God. But you've got to be saved. You've got to have your name written there in the Lamb's Book of Life for that promise to be for you. All the promises in the Bible are yea and amen to the Christian, to them that believe and follow Jesus wherever he goeth. Praise God. And Sister Gladys, you go ahead and obey God, sis.
Okay. I'll go ahead and get started. I want to praise God for the opportunity, Sister Green, to be on this broadcast. It's weighing on my heart what Sister Betty was saying about the one sister. And I want to send word to her, Sister Betty. Let her know. If you get in the Psalms, God will encourage your heart. That's what David wrote the Psalms for. I know that sometimes things will hit you one way and hit you another way, and sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel, but that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But I know in the Word of God, if we let him direct our steps, and he's promised that he would do so, let her know that there is hope in this, that Jesus paid such a high price, Sister Betty. I know you can encourage her, but my book of Psalms is highlighted and underlined, and it's got dates of times that I've gone through struggles and pain and sorrow and plenty of tears, but I know my God was on the scene, and Jesus paid such a high price, and he lifts me up whenever I'm down, and I praise him tonight, and I thank him, and I pray that anyone and everyone that's listening tonight that was listening to Brother John could be encouraged to know that we have to do this the way the Word says to do it, and then we can walk uprightly before the Lord. God orders things in decency. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, he said, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, when the tabernacle was built, he had the priests go in and they had to lay out the bread a certain way. And when the sacrifices came forth to the altar, they had to lay the meat out a certain direction. They had to lay this meat out in a certain way for it to be sent up to God in the way that it was supposed to be sent. It said, Leviticus 1:7, he said, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Everything's done in order. It says God is a God of order. When our sacrifices are made to the Lord, Jesus is our sacrifice. But when we fast and we pray and we seek God's face, those two are sacrifices unto the Lord. We can't do it through work, so we've got to be obedient unto the Lord. That's where it comes in. Jesus has already paid the high price upon the cross. You know, I got to reading, you know, we were kind of running today and was short on time, but I kept my mind on the Lord. And sometimes it's rough whenever you've got a family to keep track of and grandbabies to keep track of, but I'm not making excuses, because each and every one of us, when God calls us into something and we want to be committed to it, I want to do what I need to do. In Genesis chapter 22:9-24, it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Everything was in place on the altar. The beloved lad of the promises was bound and prostrate upon the wood he had brought on his own shoulders. The fire was ready. Everything was still and quiet. Let me make sure I'm reading those scriptures correctly. Sister Joanne, I'm not trying to take up time, but I want to do it right here. You know, people are listening, and I read from the King James Version just like you've asked, and I want to read it correctly. I usually print it out just so it goes quicker, but I'm going to start in verse 9. And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. I apologize. That printout was incorrect. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go. I'm sorry. I don't know what is goofed up on my computer, but what I'm trying to speak about, I'll read it from what I've read from the Word. It's talking about Abraham taking Isaac to the up to the altar where God had asked him to take him. I greatly apologize for being in the wrong part of the wood in the Word. Apologize for stumbling all over myself. But I know God knows my heart, Sister Joanna, and he knows the desire of my heart. And when I get on this broadcast, it's not to give myself a big name.
Amen.
It's to speak something, to reach out to somebody else. So lift them up and let them know that there is a correct way in this. And when you're feeling down and you don't think the world cares about anything you do or say, that Jesus is right there listening to everything you're going through, and he's walking through it with you. You may not feel the Lord at the time. That's like when Abraham was taking Isaac up to that mountain. He knew it would have been the hardest thing to do was to slay his son, but he had to lay it out the way God asked him to do so, and he was going to be obedient and take him up that mountain, and he took his knife, and he just knew in his heart that God would make a way when there seemed to be no way. And many times in the midnight hour, when we were looking at things and circumstances, whether it be our children being sick or whether it's us or individually being sick, or when our bills are piled sky high and we're thinking, God, how can we do it? But we have to call out to God, and he says, I'll hear you. If you call, he says, I answer before you call. So I praise my Father God that he's there to listen to me, Sister Joanne. And when I'm on this, it's like Paul said, I'm not speaking to you with enticing words. The Word of God is enticing enough. It's an anointing Word of God, and that's all I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do, is anoint me so I can reach out to someone. The anointing's what breaks the yoke. It's like I was telling my husband today, I don't want to be in the way when you guys do this broadcast. I want to be obedient and speak what the Holy Spirit tells me to speak. So when Abraham got up on that mountain, I'm sure the boy asked Isaac said, well, where's the sacrifice? And I believe Abraham had to tell him, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not quoting scripture now, he said, it'll come. You know, and I believe that they stood there a while, and Abraham was saying, well, God, what was it? But he raised the, in obedience, he raised the knife. And there's a voice that spoke to him not to harm the boy. And I believe at that time, God knew that his heart was set to be obedient unto him. But in the bush, in the thicket, God brought a ram to sacrifice. When we're in the middle of a mess and we don't know where we're going, God says if we seek his face and do his will, he'll make a message out of our mess. He'll take a testimony out of our test. We don't understand things. We don't understand when we get up out of the bed. And, you know, I would have loved to have been on the last broadcast on Tuesday night because I did have a testimony. I still have a testimony sitting in this chair, Sister Joanna. There was a time and hour in 2007 I couldn't sit up. I couldn't walk for more than 10 minutes. And Sister Betty, you tell that lady that's wanting to throw in the towel, don't give up. You know, there are many times we argue with God, like Abraham could have, but he was obedient to do what God wanted him to do, and the ram was in the thicket. Sometimes we have to just cry out to God and say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. Sometimes this is a trusting walk with God, and he'll direct our steps. He'll put them in order and let us walk a path that we don't understand sometimes. But then later we can understand that if I go through pain, if I go through suffering, then I can truly look in someone's eyes, Sister Joanne, and say, I understand. If I've never suffered and never gone through any pain, we may question God and say, God, have I not suffered enough? But your pain is not in vain. God will let you go through things. But everything we go through, Satan may want to tempt us. He may want to try us. But nothing, no trial we ever go through can we go through unless it's given permission by God. Satan has to get permission to put us through what we go through. But I know this much. For the sister that wants to throw in the towel, Sister Betty, tell her she'll be on my heart and I'll be praying for her. Because I know there was a day and hour I couldn't even walk across the floor. My feet popped and they cracked and my hands hurt like crazy. I didn't know whether I'd live or whether I'd die. I had to seek God's face and said, Lord, whatever your will is. I was ready to go because like Brother John was saying, to die is the gain. But I knew that there were still things I needed to do with the Lord. The Lord just showed me in my spirit. I'd lay hands on the sick and the Holy Spirit would move and they'd recover. It's not my doing. Anything that we say or do on this broadcast, we're not doing it for ourselves and for our glory. The only glory is for God.
Amen.
He's the only one. It says in the Word of God, it said, he alone in that day shall be exalted. In that day, and I believe we're talking about today, Jesus will be the only one that's exalted. He's the one that paid the price. That God will get the glory. God is the only one. No man can get glory. A lot of people want to see their name in bright lights. I don't desire that. Sister Joanne, I've taken up enough time, but I want to praise God tonight. I thank him that I can walk again. I thank him that I can lift up 25 pounds today with my grandbaby that I watch every day. There was a time and a day and an hour when I walked across the floor in 2007. My both sides of my hips were fractured. Within 1 month's time, just by walking, I fractured the left side of my hip. You know, when I went to church, the devil said, you can't shout. The Holy Spirit rose up in me and said, watch me. And the Holy Ghost shot through me, Sister Joanna, and I did shout. With broken bones, I shouted. That's the God I serve. I give him glory tonight. I turn it back over to you, Sister Green.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. We never know who we're talking to out there, and somebody's listening. Somebody needed to know, praise the Lord, that there's hope in God if they just hang on to the Lord. You know, Brother Bill Hicks, I know a lot of us here on the broadcast tonight knows who Brother Evangelist Bill Hicks is, and he always says, whenever we've been in his meetings with him, he has said, if the backslider would have just prayed one more time, they wouldn't have backslid. And you know, a lot of times they want to throw in that scripture saying that God's married to the backslider, and he is married to the backslider. And just as I said, he is married to the backslider. But The backslider walks away from him, and they're no longer married to God. And, you know, so we could get our names written therein in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's up to us to keep it there. And I was thinking how the rich man, you know, I won't get on my message here, but it may be here in just a little bit. I will, but, you know, it's all good. Thank the Lord for you, Sister Gladys, and the time belongs to the Lord, sis. You just always take your time, and we enjoy hearing you. We thank God. You know, sometimes I get wrapped up in my text, but when I push it aside and just let God have his way, just as you did, praise God, the anointing began to flow through you and you know, through your obedience. And, you know, when we first started this and we only went a half an hour, I thought, gee, I don't know. They were saying, let's go an hour, and then they said, let's go 2 hours. I thought, I don't know if we have enough to say for 2 hours, but, you know, I thank God that we pressed on anyhow. And somebody under the sound of our voices tonight, you need a refuge. You need to run, praise God, to the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You need to give your heart to him, and you need to let him work out your mess. And you've said probably plenty of times that I've got to get this mess cleaned up before I go to church, or I've got to get this mess cleaned up before I can serve God. No, you come first and let him clean up your mess. Praise God. I want you to listen to this here song. Hope it blesses you. And then we're going to have Brother Yearwood. Brother, you and Sister Betty, get ready. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Can I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who can I lean on? Yeah, when there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Yes, I run to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone of the builder protected. I run to the mountain. Storms of life are threatening. Who do I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? Is there a refuge? Yes, there is. In the time of tribulation, when I need the consolation, I go to the rock.
Yeah. I go to the rock of my salvation.
God, hallelujah. Hope you enjoyed that song. And Brother Yearwood, you go ahead and you obey the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate it, Sister Green. Appreciate the opportunity to I'm back on your radio broadcast again. We're going to be administering tonight a little bit from Joshua, the 24th chapter there. You know, I thank God, you know, as Brother John was speaking there a while ago about Isaiah there and Hezekiah over there, saying that set your house in order, you're surely going to die, you know, and I tell you, Hezekiah might have been sick unto death, but, you know, praise God, he had enough of goods that he was able to turn to God and turn his face to the wall and begin to cry out, God, you've seen my life. You know how good I've lived, and you know everything that I've done. And, you know, and God turned around then and sent the angel, the same angel, back to him that told him that he was going to die, said, set your house in order. Told him, said, go back and tell him that I've added 15 years to his life. You know, I believe tonight that you and I are supposed to have that same kind of life. I believe that we're supposed to live that same kind of life before God, that if anything was to happen, we could turn to God and we could tell him about our life. And, you know, and I just praise God for that. But, you know, we're going, as I said, we're going to go here and over here in Joshua, the 24th chapter, and verse 14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and the servant, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, I think tonight, praise God, that, you know, there's a lot of people out there, they're serving everything else besides the really, the true living God. You know, I was just thinking there, and it come to my mind there, that lady that they laid to rest today, you know, I talked to them there and asked them about her life. I always want to know about somebody's life before, you know, when I hear them passing. And they said that she had made the statements not too many days ago that there wasn't no God. And, you know, that makes me wonder about, you know, did she really have her house in order? But, you know, I believe tonight if we've got our house in order, we can say truly that there is a living God. I believe that we were to worship the one and only true living God, the one that come down here and left the throne and that come down here and died and hung and bled on the cross that we could have this life and have it more abundantly. Let's go on in just a little bit further. In the 15th verse, it says, And if it seemeth evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, truly tonight I'll say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the one, I praise God, that God sent down here through the virgin birth, through the Virgin Mary, that he would be a baby, but then he, I praise God, he growed up in the 33 and a half years, and in the 3.5 years, he really made the history. I know when he was 12 years old, he made a history of turning the water into wine, and then he made another a miracle, the second miracle. I can't remember exactly what it was. the wedding at Canaan, but you know, about whenever he turned the water into wine, but he done another miracle. I can't remember exactly what it is, but then when he turned 30 years old, he began to minister then, and he ministered for 3.5 years before that he was hung on the cross. And I'm so thankful that he was willing, even though he went to the garden and cried out, Father, he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew the plan that his father sent him down here to do. He knew the plan that he had to keep the house in order. And I thank God that he had a choice, just like you and I have got. We can choose this day who we serve. We can choose Satan. But praise God, I'm glad that Jesus, he still chose to serve his Father. He still chose to glorify God. And he still chose to walk uprightly before his Father. He knew, praise God, if he hadn't done it, there wouldn't have been no hope for this world. But by him walking uprightly before the Father and before him keeping it in order and saying, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God, he made it possible that this world can be saved. I'm glad that John 3:17 says that he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, through him this world can be saved. And that's the only way. I'm so thankful. I remember back over in the 12th chapter of Acts, it said there's no other name given under heaven about whereby that man can be saved, but except through the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way, my friend, tonight, that we can make heaven our home, except we call upon him. And I'm so thankful that Romans 10:13 says that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's talking about setting your house in order. That's talking about turning your life around and putting everything in behind you, putting that sinful life in behind and looking straight ahead, looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful tonight. I praise God that we can look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we can call upon him, as Brother John was mentioned a while ago, over there in the book of James. It said for us to praise God. It said for us to pray one for another, confess our faults one for another, to one to another, that we might be healed. I tell you what, we need to pray one for another. And I thank God today whenever Sister Betty was telling me about that woman sending that email out. I said she was felt like throwing a towel in. I felt like quitting. And I told Betty, I said, you tell her how the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Betty said, I done told her that. I tell you what, tonight, we're supposed to tell people what does set the word of God. If we confess these words, as somebody said here a while ago, these words, we don't get no glory out of it, but as the Father, I'll get the glory out of this word, out of this word of God. I'm so thankful tonight that we can minister this word across these airwaves, and the people can take heed. People can hear the word if they will only believe, and they can take and call upon him, and he will forgive us. He will forgive them of their sins. He will write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will. I'll tell them how that one day after a while they can enter in at the straight gate. I'll tell you what I believe over in the book of Isaiah. How they said there's a highway. How that's called wholeness. And no unclean things. How going to walk thereon. But it's going to take the pure and the undefiled. How the people that is walking uprightly before God. How they're going to be the ones that's going to walk on that highway that's called wholeness. There won't be no unclean thing on it, my friend. There won't be no places to throw in the towel because we've got to hold on if we want to make heaven our home. He said, them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We've got to endure to the end. We've got to get our house in order. We've got to keep it in order. Praise God. I'm going to let Betty do some reading. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel.
Praise the Lord. Now, we've heard the word there. We've heard what God said there. And, you know, We've got to serve the Lord, and we've got to hearken unto his voice. If we don't hearken unto the Lord's voice, we're in trouble. And I just thank God tonight that there is a few that is still hearkening unto God's voice and still a listening, still got a ear tuned to the Lord and hearing what doth saith the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers they'll not follow. And I thank God tonight that we can hear the voice of God and that we can follow the voice of God, and the Lord will get the glory out of all of it, you know, that he will be glorified through the Son. So I'll turn it back to you, Sister Green. God bless you, and we appreciate you.
Praise God. We appreciate that word there, and we thank the Lord for you and Sister Betty, and that was good word there. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Praise God. And the subject tonight is on Get Your House in Order. Praise the Lord. And we're going to come to you again with another song, and then we're going to just obey the Lord. Praise God.
I'm building this house on the rock, on the holy word of God. Not gonna settle it down on shifting sand. I'm building this house on the rock, on the word that Jesus taught. On this solid foundation it will stand. Thank you.
Praise God. I hope you enjoyed that there song, and that's the truth. Jesus is a solid rock. He's the only rock I know. Praise the Lord. There's no other name given in heaven or in earth, praise the Lord, that we must go by. We must go to the rock, and that is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to obey God here for just a minute or two or three or four, or I don't know, Lord willing. However, I just want him to get into this and to what I'm feeling here tonight. And I thank the Lord. Praise God. If you know, if someone said to you out there listening, if someone said to you that there's a land that I know of, and they said out there it's there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no dying over there, there's no parting over there, that you're going to live forever. If someone told you that, praise God. You know, would you believe that? And that's exactly what we're saying here tonight, is we need to believe exactly what those words I just told you. The Bible talks about, Jesus said that they're able to discern the weather. And they go and prepare, and I know that I'm paraphrasing here, and I'm adding my own words. We call for snowstorms, our meteorologists do, and said that we're going to get here in Ohio. Sometimes they expect maybe 6 to 10 inches of snow, and people run out to the store, and they get ready, and they get prepared, and they stock up on their food and groceries and blankets and heat and wood and fuel oil, and if they have a tank for oil, and they get ready, they get prepared. Let me tell you something, and what I just told you is there's going to be life somewhere, eternity, that you're going to spend, and you need to choose this day whom you're going to serve, just like Brother Yearwood, Brother John, Sister Gladys was telling you. You need to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. The Bible says that you can't have two masters. It says you either love one or you hate the other. And if you don't choose Jesus and you say, I'm not going to choose anything, I'm not going to decide right now, I'm just going to do my thing and I'm having fun in this old world and I'm just going to do right now what I'm going to do, but maybe later I might serve Jesus. But you know what? If you choose not to serve Jesus right now under the sound of my voice, you automatically choose to serve the devil. And I can prove that to you here in just a moment. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. If you're a sinner out there and you're living any old way and ungodly and you're not under the hand of God and protection of the Lord, the angels encamp around about us, the Bible says. And you know, Job had a hedge around about him. If you're a Christian tonight, you got a hedge all around about you. And just as Sister Gladys spoke to you tonight, they have the devils, the demons have to ask God's permission if the hedge can be let down just a little bit to see if you're going to stand the test. Praise God. And I was thinking here in Hebrews, we quote it many, many, many times. Praise the Lord. In Hebrews 9, it says in verse 27, and as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So it's appointed to man. It's appointed to you to once to die, and after this is judgment.
Amen.
The Bible says, how a tree falleth, so shall it lay. How you die is how you're going to be judged. If you die in your sins, that's exactly what you're going to do. You're not going to come back and have another chance. This is the only opportunity that you'll ever have to get saved is right now. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today you give your heart to God. Right now, praise the Lord, because if you go out of this world, if you go out of this here world right now, praise God, in this here corrupted body, and your body goes to the dust, goes back to the earth, back to the ground, and how you go in that grave, that's how you're going to come up. Or you're going to be in the first resurrection, praise be to God, then you're going to rest in Jesus for a little while until he comes. But if you're part of that second death, that second resurrection, woe be to you. You're going to stand before the white throne judgment, right before God, where he's going to judge. And you know, see, he's already judged you once you died. But God is a just God, and he's going to give out the sentence. You see, once they go through a court system, and you go through the trial, and you go through the jury, and they find out whether you're guilty or not, and that's what you're going to do. When you live this life right here, this is a trial, and praise God, and to see if you're going to be guilty or not. And when you die, if you die in your sins, you know, then the judge is going to give the judgment. Then you go back to the hearing in the natural, and on this earth, the court system of America is set up the way the Bible is set up. Praise the Lord. And Sister Gladys was giving you, praise God, the Old Testament and things that were of the Old Testament. And Brother John was giving you the things of the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. And so was Brother Yearwood. And I was thinking how the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of what's today. Praise God. And under grace, hallelujah, under Jesus, the new covenant, hallelujah. And how America, when it came about in the 1700s, and how they began to set up the laws and set up the court system, how it was set up the way Jesus had the Bible, how God set up the laws and set up the Bible. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for this. And you know, when we go through the death, praise God, and the burial and resurrection, as Pastor John was telling you about, the way you die, if you die, like I said, in your sins, you're judged already when you go to the grave. But when you're resurrected in that second death, and you stand before the great right throne judgment before God, and there he opens up the books, and if your name's not found there in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he opens up the books, and he begins to give out the judgment, and you know that's the way it is today. When a person goes through, if they're being accused, if they're a suspect of murder or something, they go through the trial. And then after the verdict comes forth and the plea is given by the person, whether they plead guilty or not, and then the jury gives the verdict, and the verdict was guilty. And, you know, when you die in your sin, your verdict is guilty. And when you go before the great white throne judgment, and then the person on this land, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here, I'm trying to explain this. And when the person is accused of murder and the verdict is guilty, then they have to go back at a different court date. Your different court date would be the great white throne judgment. And there the judge will give you your sentence. And it will be in the hell and the lake of fire. And there's a place there called hell. And the rich man, how he was there and he looked upon a great gulf affixed across from him. And it was Lazarus' bosom. It was Abraham's bosom. There where Lazarus was, when the rich man died, he died in his sins. Praise God. And he said, if you just send Abraham, just send Lazarus back to my five brothers. Oh, praise God, that they will leave. And I'm paraphrasing that, probably not saying it just right. And then he says to him, they wouldn't even believe Moses and the prophets. He said, how would they believe someone that raised from the dead? They're not going to believe if they didn't believe Moses and the prophets. I tell you right now, under the sound of my voice, if you're weighed in the balance and you're found wanting and you're trying to make a decision whether you want to give your heart to God, I'm telling you, give your heart to God tonight. And Romans chapter 6 is, for the wages of sin is death. We quote this all the time because this is scriptural. This is Bible. The wages of sin is death. You're out there partying. You're out there having what you call a good time. But I tell you, that's going to come to an end someday. Young people go out of this world all the time drunken and hitting trees and going out of this life drunk, going out of this life doing their drugs, doing whatever they do. They said that the most common drug or whatever nowadays is heroin. I tell you, you could take that last heroin and you could die tonight. And I'm telling you, you put that thing down, you put that bottle down, and you give your heart to Jesus. I'm pleading with you to give your heart to God, because the gift of God is eternal life. If you go out of this world and you've given your blood, your sins are under the blood of Jesus. You'll come up in that first resurrection, and you'll be on the streets of gold. Praise God. You'll go through the pearly gates. There's many in the church house. Praise God. If you're out there and you've been hurt by someone at church, you remember they're only human beings. You set your eyes on Jesus. Judgment starts first in the house of God. And then where does the ungodly and the sinner appear? So God's going to judge them. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. You might say that you don't want to go to church because there's hypocrites there. Praise God, it's not going to hurt you. The world would treat you worse, let me tell you. But you keep your eyes on God, not on man. And you let the hypocrite go ahead and do what they're going to do because they've got a judgment day coming as well. We'll all have to stand accountable for our own sins. Praise the Lord. There's a song that they sing. I can't remember how it went now. My Uncle Bob used to sing it, something about my record being clear. Maybe Clint remembers it, something about the record. Praise God. The old account was settled long ago, I think is what it was. Praise the Lord. And then Luke chapter 10, praise the Lord, verse 18, and Jesus was talking and said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. There's going to be many in this last day, and it's already come to pass and going to continue to come to pass till Jesus comes, that there'll be many to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done these wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Praise the Lord. So there's going to be hypocrites in the church. Praise the Lord. But that should not be an excuse to keep you from going. Hallelujah. It says in verse 21 of Luke chapter 10, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me by the Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now, praise God, I want to tell you that tonight. If you're hearing this gospel, if you're hearing this message preached, you're a blessed person. You're blessed. And you're not going to be able to get there in that place called hell. And you're not going to be able to have a second chance to come out. Right now, you're a blessed person because you can hear this. And you've got an opportunity right now to pray. You're not going to have no excuse. You're not going to have an excuse that you were young and that you were doing your thing and this is for old people. You're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say that. I believe everybody that's ever heard the gospel, ever preached, I believe them that's already went on and that's in that place called hell. I believe every gospel message that they heard of Jesus, every opportunity that they ever had, I believe is going to flash before their face. And they're not going to have a second chance like you have right now under the sound of my voice. Just as Brother Yearwood read to you, Joshua 24, praise God, 15. And if And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. I tell you that tonight. Listen to me. Praise God. I'm just a servant of God. I'm nobody special. But I want you to be saved. Praise God. Your soul means more to me, praise God, than me. To be over at my friend's house having a Bible study every Friday night. We can get together and we can do our own thing. But I praise God. I'd rather be here right here with you getting saved and your heart being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I thank God for you, and praise me to God. I may never know you on this side of eternity, praise God, of this side of the world, but one of these days I hope to meet you over yonder. And you know, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us tonight. HeIsRisen38@AOL.com. Won't you just send us a text? If you need prayer, we'll sure pray for you. If you want to be on Facebook with us, friend us, praise God. It's under my account, Joanna Werick, W-Y-E-R-I-C-K, Green. No E on the end. Friend, request me. I'll be your friend. I'll pray with you. Praise God. I can't stick as close as Jesus can because he's the only one that will stick closer than a brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. That reminds me of the scripture when they said to Jesus, your mother's calling for you. I'm paraphrasing. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Said the one that does the will of the Father. Praise God. You're my brother and sister tonight. If you're saved, we're brother, we're kinfolk. And I sure will be your friend. So friend, request me if you want to. I'll be glad to be your friend. Hallelujah. I need all the friends I can get. I need all the prayers I can get. Hallelujah. I'm just a servant of God, like I told you. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Green. Hallelujah.
Good to be with you tonight. Thank God for the messages already that have been brought forth tonight. I feel like, you know, today, I know some days we don't feel like we're saved. We just feel maybe like we're not on a mountaintop, but I tell you, if you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believed in your heart, unto righteousness, and you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you put your faith in him, I tell you, you're just as saved, whether you feel like you are or whether you don't. You know, every day you don't get up on the mountaintop. You don't feel like you're walking in the clouds or whatever. I remember a time when we had revival once, and I was like for 3 or 4 days, felt like I was just walking in the Spirit, just walking in the clouds, and didn't feel like I had a care in the world. Of course, I didn't really have too many cares in the world because I had my mind on God. I had my mind on the things of God. And when we do that, it seems like the cares of this world just seem like they roll away and we don't have to worry like the world does, because the Bible said we can cast our care upon the Lord, for he careth for us. And I'll tell you tonight, it's been great preaching tonight about getting your house in order. And, I thank the Lord that I got my house in order back in 1975. I came to the Lord. I came to Christ, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I repented of my sins, and I sought the Lord for salvation, and I knocked on heaven's door and sought him with all my heart, and the Lord came into my life, and I knew one day I was changed. I knew that God had touched my life, that he'd made a difference in me, and I've never been the same. I've never been always on the mountaintop, but I'm not always in the valley either. But one thing I know, if I keep my trust in God, if I keep my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God and that he has died for my sins according to the Scriptures. I know that I have a home in heaven. If I pass off of the scene here, if something happens to me and I go by the way of the grave before Christ comes back, I know that my Redeemer liveth, as Job said. I know he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though the skin worms eat this body, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I tell you, he's not too, his arm is not short that it cannot save tonight, and his ear is not heavy. I tell you, if he'll build you an altar to the Lord, find you a place. You know, I had an idea one day, and I cut me up some wood, and I built me an altar, and I put it back in my bedroom. And many times I go to that altar, and I pray, and I seek the Lord. You know, Abraham, if you follow Abraham and the life of Abraham, you'll find out that he built an altar everywhere. Seemed like he went. He built him an altar, and he called on the God of heaven, and he called on the one that could give him help. And God blessed Abraham and made Abraham a blessing. And I'll tell you tonight, you don't have to die lost. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. And you know, Joshua made that statement. The ministers have spoke about it tonight. And I thought to myself, you know, when some of them was a-preaching that or somebody was a-saying it, I thought to myself, you know, you can make a choice. A choice is what you can make tonight. You can choose to serve God or you can choose to serve the devil. You can choose to serve things that are not of God. You can run after the world, but I'll tell you, he that runs after the world, loves the world, is going to perish one of these days, is going to be lost. But he that doeth the will of God, the Bible said, abideth forever. And I tell you, that's what I want, is eternal life. I don't want to run after the things of this world and lose my soul. For what shall it profit a man, the Bible said, if he shall gain the whole world, what does it profit him? If he lose his own soul, and what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't buy this. You can't buy it with money. I don't care how rich you get, it won't get you into heaven. And I don't know what your problem is tonight if you're not serving God, but I know that you can get over that problem. I know that you can get through your disappointments and trials and troubles, and you can find Jesus. You know, he'll come to you in the midnight hour. And he's never too late. He's always on time. Praise God. And, you know, I thought Jacob was running from his troubles one day over in Genesis in chapter, I believe it is, 28. And Jacob went to a place and lighted, the Bible said, on a certain place. And he took some stones and laid them down to make a pillow for his head. And he was running for his life. And the Bible says he was going down to this place, I forget the name of it right now, but he was going down there, and he was running from Esau, and he was trying to preserve his life. And I'll tell you, that night the Lord came to him in a dream. The Bible said that he dreamed a ladder went into heaven, and he saw the Lord at the top of that ladder. That next morning he got up, and he put him a stone, and he poured oil upon that stone and called it the house of God. And he said, if God will be with me and take me and keep me safe and provide for me, when I come back, he'll be my God, and I'll give him a 10% of everything that I got. And, you know, God prospered him on credit. He just said that he didn't have nothing. He didn't have anything. He was running from his brother, and he didn't have nothing on him, no wealth of any kind. And, you know, God blessed Jacob, and he come out of there a rich man after he had stayed down there in that land for, I believe it was about 20 or 21 years or something like that. And he had fed the Laban's sheep and goats and cattle, and he come out of there a rich man. And It was because that he put God first in his life, and that's the way it's going to be. If you're going to be blessed, you're going to have to put God first in your life. You know, I never did see anybody prosper if they're going to drink and they're going to take dope and do these kind of things and run from God. I'll tell you, I don't see how they could prosper. Everyone I've seen seems like they end up broke and busted, and they end up, seems like their life falls apart because they left God out. But I'll tell you, God has promised us that he'll bless us. I was reading over in the book of Haggai, and I was reading there where they said that it was not time to build the house of God, but God spoke to him by prophet and said, it is time to build my house. And I told him how that they had gone through hard times because they had failed to build the house of God, and they had run to their own houses, and their houses must have been pretty good houses because it said they was sealed up and everything, and they was working on their house, but they left the house of God go. And we're talking about working on a building. We're talking about getting your house in order. And I tell you, when you begin to work on God's house, it'll pay. It'll pay you to work on God's house if you want your house worked on. If you want God to bless your house, you better bless God's house. Now, I tell you, that's where a lot of people are failing God, because they're not looking to God's house, and they're looking to their own house and looking to everything they can get, and they've neglected the house of God. But I tell you, it's a shame when a house of God is needing repair, when the house of God needs work on it, and we are building on our house, and we don't care about the house of God. But you can read that over there in Haggai chapter 1, how that in the, I think it was the second year of Darius, that they began to work upon the house of God, and they began to lay the foundation to that house. Praise God. And I can't turn over there right now, but I tell you, it'll pay us to do God's will. And over in Zechariah, he talked to him again over there in Zechariah chapter 7, and he spoke to him again in the fourth year of Darius, and he began to explain to him how that was going bad for him, and they would go to get the oil out of the oil tank, and I can't put it in the words it was put in, but they went to the vat, or what it was called, and they went to get, I believe it was 50 gallons or whatever of oil, and they'd only get 20, and they'd go, the different things wasn't producing for them, the rain wasn't coming, and hard times was hitting them because they had failed to build the house of God. And finally he said, think back to when God started blessing you. And he reminded them that it was when you laid the foundation of the Lord's house that things began to turn around, and the Lord started blessing them. And I'll tell you, the Bible said in Malachi to let you, to bring your tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And he said to lay your treasure up in heaven, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. And I tell you, if we get our heart right toward God, we'll want to give to the house of God, and we'll want to give out to the people of God, and we'll want to serve the Lord. You know, Abraham paid a tenth to Melchizedek 400 and something years before the law, and Jacob vowed a vow to God that he would give him a 10%. And I wonder where they might have got that thought, but I believe they got it from Melchizedek. And you know, today we're under that ministry. Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He was a great high Amen. Priest. He's the greatest high priest this world has ever seen. Praise God. There's none no greater than him. Moses was faithful in all of his house, the Bible said. Rachel read that earlier. I want to read a little bit of that. how that faith, Moses was faithful in all of his house. Praise God. Let me see if I can find it here in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. You know, somebody said tonight that they that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you started out with Jesus, if you confessed him with your mouth, the Bible said to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he's talking about there's where you start out in this race of salvation. That's where you know, when they start a race, they'll get them out there and put them in the starting blocks, and then they wait till the gun goes off, and away they go out of them blocks, and they run till they finish that race. And that's where you get started, right there, with the confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Of course, you got to repent of your sins, that's for sure. He won't have nobody that's out there living in sin. He that committeth sin is a servant of sin, the Bible said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. In other words, if you're living in sin, you can't abide in God's house. There's going to be a day when God's going to cut you off. There was a day when Samson got up and said, Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he said to himself, I guess, or to her, don't know. He said, I'll shake myself as other times, and I'll do like I've always done. I'll go out there, and I'll take care of them. But I'll tell you something, he didn't take care of them that time. They jobbed his eyes out and put him grinding at the wheel because sin I'll catch up with you. The Bible tells us that the Lord had told the seven churches. He said, I've given you a space of repentance, but if you don't repent, he said, I'll take away the candlestick. In other words, you'll lose what I give you. In other words, he'll take back what he gave you. If he gives you something, I want you to keep it. I want to keep what God gave me. I don't want him to take his Holy Spirit from me. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'm talking about working on the house. We're the house of God, and we've got to work on it. You know, the Lord moved into this house and cleaned it up one day, and it's up to me to keep the Lord in the house, because if I started sinning on God and I started doing things contrary to God, you know, the Lord ain't going to stay in this house. He's going to go find him another house. You know, the Lord departed from Saul one day, didn't he? He was the king of Israel. And the Bible tells me there in a 2 Samuel, I believe it is, 1 or 2 Samuel. I believe it's 1 Samuel, maybe. It tells us about Saul, how the Bible said he was changed. He was turned into another man. And he prophesied with the prophets. But you know, one day, the Bible said the Lord departed from Saul. I want you to know, if he done it in the Old Testament, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I'll tell you, if he didn't always strive with them back then, I don't believe he'll strive with us today. And we're under a better covenant. We're under something today that's far greater than what they had in that day. We've got preaching like they never had, I believe. We've got the presence of God with us, the Holy Ghost, and we are living in the greatest dispensation of time that the world has ever known. If you want to get a hold of God, the Bible said draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. There ain't no excuses, my friend, tonight why we can't get a hold of God. But I tell you, people will say, I've prayed and I've done this and that and I can't get a hold of God. Well, what way are you living, my friend? I'm not mean. I'm just trying to tell you the truth tonight. Which way are you living? Are you using slang words that's a substitute for curse words? Are you doing things like that? Are you setting things before you and watching things on the TV screen that God wouldn't approve of? And are you siding with God, or are you getting over on the devil's side? I tell you, he said when unclean spirits gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'll go back to my house from whence I came. And he goes back and finds it swept, clean, swept, and empty. I'll tell you, when Jesus comes in, he'll clean the house up. But when you go to siding with the devil, I'll tell you, you're opening the door for the devil to come back in. And when you open that door, Jesus is going to leave. And that house ain't going to be clean very long because you're going to get a visitor come one day. You better get back to God if you're dabbling in sin tonight. You better get back to God. I'm a warning of people tonight. It's time to come back home. You've been a-wandering in the wilderness way too long. It's time to come back home. Let's get our house in order, church. Let's get it clean. Let's put the devil out of our house. Let's put out everything that God's not pleased with. Let's clean up our house. Let's put out them Ouija boards and them unclean movies that you might have stacked away somewhere, or maybe some books or something like that God ain't pleased with, stuff with horoscopes in it and things of that sort. I tell you, let's clean our house up, and I believe if we clean up our house, I believe the devil will have to leave and the tormenting spirits will have to go, and I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Joanna.
Praise God. Enjoyed that preaching, all of the callers tonight. It sure has been a good one. And I tell you, if you need to clean up your house, praise the Lord. We're talking about this here body, this fleshly body, this corrupted body. We need to clean it up and walk as perfectly up before God as we possibly can. As I always tell my kids, if it just doesn't seem right, if you just don't know for sure, just don't do it. Praise the Lord. And, you know, that my daughter says, why, Mommy, do we live like this? Why do we not do this or that? I said, because when we say we're Christian, we mean it. Praise the Lord. We want our light to shine. We're not to hide it under a bushel. We want to be different than the crowd. We want to be different world, praise God. We want to set out on a hill, up on a hill that our light would shine, praise God. We're a city set up on a hill, hallelujah. God is so good. God is good. We want the people, when they ask for prayer, we want them to have confidence in us. When they see us in the supermarket, when they see us in church, when they see us we're in our workplace, we want them to see Christ, hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor John, you have a prayer request, brother?
Yes, just let's remember we have a sister in our church that comes in, and her grandchild over in Alabama, possibility of cystic fibrosis. And I did want to say that woman that called in, my youngest daughter had MS, and she'd been completely healed of MS, so I want to encourage her, and just like she said, Sister Gladys, and when I say encouragement, you know, even before Sister Gladys spoke, and I want to say this to all you ministers tonight, that God wanted me to speak to all of you, that you are sons of consolation, you are encouragers, you are, even as I was speaking, you know, that David, you know, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and you shall recover all. And I want to thank each and every one of you, you know, Sister Betty and Brother Lloyd, and and Brother Clint and Sister Joanne and Sister Gladys and all those of you who speak, God told me to tell you that you are encouragers and that you are accompanying one another with the words and the people. And you have that gift, and you just continue to encourage. And just like you said, you encourage that woman to hang on. And that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So God wanted me to speak that into all your lives.
Praise God. Appreciate Amen. That, Brother John. Let's go ahead and pray over these prayer requests and praise the Lord.
Thank you,
dear Jesus. Lord, thank you, God, for those encouraging words. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the one that gives a heart tonight.
For their soul that's
offered before you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, all these prayer requests, Lord, spoken and unspoken prayer requests, Lord, we ask you that you move on them, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus, for the testimonies that have come forth, dear God. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity, dear Lord. Bless each home, Lord, of the callers that have called in here tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, praise you. We thank you for healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for salvation, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Father, Father, you completely heal, but there would be no pain, no sorrow in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, when giving up, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Callers, remember to keep all these prayer requests on your heart all week through. I told them on Facebook that we pray through the week as well. And I just thank the Lord for a lot of great results, testimonies here. I didn't get to tell it. We've done one off the air, but that's okay. It's still archived. It's still recording. But I wanted to tell you, Sister Samantha Moyer, she had turned in a prayer request for a lady's grandson, had been in a coma, and he is now out of the coma on the 5th of February. He come out, and from what I understand, he's able to drink fluids on his own now, apple juice and things like that. So I want to give God glory and thank him for moving upon that child. And God is merciful. Thank the Lord. And we'll see you all again next Friday, and I sure appreciate every one of you.
Thank you. God bless
you. God bless
you. God bless y'all.
God bless you. Bye.
Good night.